call the City of Franklin's committee to hold order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Stransky.
Here.
Please rise during the pledge of allegiance for our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm going to wish all of you a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Although it's 61 degrees, oh, it just doesn't feel like you should be out there a bobsled or something.
Like
but for those in attendance, we had a nice time last night over at the library with we had a big crowd of people there. So I think four aldermen were three, four aldermen.
About three.
And lots of kids, and it was a good time, good cookies and stuff. So
Supervisor Borkowski was there.
Yeah, Supervisor Borkowski. Okay, first item is recap from Civic Celebrations Commission of 2012 activities and request for funding authorization to sign contracts for 2013 in amount not to exceed $64,050. And you both gentlemen going to come up? I had already met with Bob and actually both of these gentlemen over this. So who's going to? Maybe I should, before I start, unfortunately, some bad news, which some of you probably have picked up on. And it's the chairman who has led the way here for us that has spent thousands and thousands of hours on behalf of the city, Bob Nackert. Fortunately, has told me that he's no longer going to serve. And Bob, we none of us can thank you enough for everything that you've done. But really appreciate the fact
yep.
So there's only seven of us, but pretend it's 35.
Mr. Mayor,
great job,
Bob. Alderman Solomon.
Bob, I'd like to also thank you. And when I see balances like this on the bottom line, you and I come a long way from when we first tangled, and that's very nice to see. You've done a heck of a job, yeoman's job. Thank you.
Alderman Taylor?
I was just going to say, I've been fortunate enough to serve with Bob the last, I believe, 3 years now, and I can tell you that no one works harder than him and his wife. It is a four-year commitment, and that week or so before, and those the 3 days or 2 days that goes on, you are on the go nonstop. I see it firsthand because I'm down on the ground basically the entire time, and you are working harder than anybody. And the city should be thankful for your service.
Yeah. Speech.
It was fun. That's why we did it too. And it was great working with the city. The staff has been outstanding. Always from the city clerk's office, the DPW, police. Mark's office, everything. There's a lot more stuff that happened that you guys probably wouldn't realize. Paperwork and getting everything authorized. There's always something that comes up at the last minute every year.
And we just do that on purpose to keep you busy.
We'll be in great hands with John. John, outstanding John.
Yeah, that's not to say that you haven't done anything.
Us two grew up together.
right. Dynamic duel.
John probably told you I was waiting for you to maybe to change your mind. But,
I tried many times.
I know you have.
We got a lot of personal stuff going on.
Yeah,
you will be my advisor.
Great job.
Oh, good.
That's great.
Right?
Sure.
You all heard it.
So we are
a good man. Go.
We are all ears. I know that you have a request into us as well. We'll probably take that up tomorrow night at the Common Council. But why don't you want to give us a little recap?
Yeah, let's do a recap of the revenue and the expenses. The donations was $21,540, which was less, than the previous year. So donations was, still good at $21,000, but it's still, we've had it higher, and hopefully maybe it'll go up, you know, in this next year. And ticket sales was 32,000. You know, a lot of it was, that's beer sales. So a lot of that is dependent on the weather and that, and the beer tent. I think that was the lowest beer sales we've had for a two-day event, you know, that we've ever had. So, you know, those two factors, and then the food was down. You know, the food vendors were down. You know, it was the weather. And our total revenue of 79,000, we've had revenue in the 90s. So we can make up, you know, where we had the net loss of 16,000. This year, then we're looking at our expenses, we're taking away the family tent that we have, you know, set up. And that we had kids' events going on, the kid band thing, clowns, magician. We'll just have them roaming around, you know, the grounds this time. We'll still have it, and we still have the bungee rides and that for the kids, and that's all free. No festival does that, you know, that offers that. Kids' rides and everything on the 4th of July for free. So that's included in the entertainment. And so I put down $20,000 for budget, which is, you know, a reduction from the 22 we had last year based on a lot of the kids' stuff in the family tent. Fireworks are just, you know, about the same. Rentals without the family tent, you know, we're taking away almost $4,000. Parade we'll keep at the same, keep the bleachers and the flags, maybe reduce the size of the bleachers because there's half of it was completely empty, but still have the bleachers. We've always considered not having them, but I think we should keep that. And then all the other ones, the ice cream, the printing, and the postage. And we always put in $5,000 for miscellaneous just in case we run into something, you know, that we're going to have to run into. And so that also might be zero. Well, at least $1,000, but, you know, it's pretty as high as I think it'll go at $63,000. But it still could end up only at about $60,000. So, you know, there was a slight reduction from money spent last year. And if our sales are up, you know, our goal is to not have a net loss. And, you know, we have the police and DPW at $20,000, and we have $13,000 given us to us by the city. I'd like to see us just have a net profit without any money from the city and have us, you know, be able to pay our police and DPW. That's our ultimate goal, you know, one of these days that we can be self-sufficient. So it's going to be 2 days. It's going to be on the 3rd and the 4th, and, you know, hopefully we'll have better weather. Okay, any questions about the...
Steve?
Well, thank you, Your Honor. I mean, I'll just say that this is the third year I've been there. The first 2 years we had a profit. I mean, and so I think over the last 3 years there is a profit. I mean, this year just kind of took in that, and now we're still we're still in the black, I would say, the last 3 years. But a two-day festival, I've been told, this is my first one. We've done it a two-day, and that's always very difficult. And they've always planned for a year like this due to rain, not due to the heat. And, you know, when it's that hot, I don't want to drink as much as I normally would. And I sure don't have an appetite. So that combination is just, I think, across the board to everybody. And you can see it. But the previous 2 years, we did very, very well. And so when we met last time, we took a look at where we had our expenses and where we thought we could cut and save money. So I think we're being very proactive on that. So it's a really outstanding committee, and I'm privileged to be a part of it. I'll make a motion tomorrow to do this.
Okay. Alderman Skronsky?
Yeah, you guys, first of all, you did a great job, and you always have done a great job. Weather is always the biggest element. You can't predict what it's going to be. There's no way you can plan for it. You do the best you can. And then you, if it does happen, then you adjust, and you adjust according to what's happening. And you guys have done a good job on that. The sponsors, see if we can get you some more, help you out that way. The economy is tough, and that's unfortunately, that's one of the things you can't help and do anything about. But I can understand what it takes to put this together. A lot of man hours, a lot of anticipation on stuff. I don't see any problem with what you're doing. It's good that you're building reserve, and again, compliments you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that you brought up ice cream on here. This is the first year I can remember where the kids, where we had ice cream left over. That's never happened. Usually we were totally out of it. It was 108 degrees on the pavement that day with the parade. And I think a lot of the people, they took the kids there, you know, because of the candy and, you know, the floats and all that. But as soon as it was over, it was just shoo. So I, when you came in with these numbers, I was shocked that you did as well as you did. So it's really it's a testament to good management on your part.
Yeah, good job.
Alderman Wilhelm?
No.
Okay. Alderman Schmidt?
Once again, congratulations on preparing this as well as you have. I did was a subject of the overheating because my car died at the end of the parade.
Long
parade.
So what's your?
It was probably because I was following Tommy Thompson. He was walking back and forth with a shake of his hand.
Amazing.
But the thing that surprised me here, just by eliminating that family tent, that you figure an estimate of almost between $3,000 and $4,000 savings just from that, putting that one tent up.
And you got tables and chairs, you know, which are rented, so.
Light.
It's the tent, tables and chairs, and sound. So.
Mr. Liberta.
One thing I would suggest possibly you include in the motion tomorrow, during this past year, after this year's contracts were already executed, we did receive a letter from our insurance company indicating that to take special care in reviewing all contracts related to summer festivals because they're aware of a variety of language being included which would not provide insurance coverage for the contract. And they gave examples and sort of distributed. So them having provided that to us, we're under a greater obligation this year probably to ensure the contracts get some additional level of review. And we've never really reviewed them in the past. They've just gone through with this approval. So I would suggest that maybe the motion incorporate subject to review to ensure insurance compliance. And what I can try and do also is find a copy of that letter and provide it to you tomorrow.
I guess I have one more thing to say about the event. As you know, the two of you know, and Steve, you probably know too, that the fireworks, we were really watching to see whether we were going to have the fireworks. There were a lot of people over in Alderman Olson's district that were very, very worried. We were all worried about it. The fire department did a great job. The fence went up. It was a little bit further out. Some people weren't happy about that. But at the end of the fireworks, I was out there on the golf cart, and people were just ecstatic with the fireworks. So that's something that other communities didn't pull off too well. So.
Creek Mountain.
Yeah.
The fire department, Chief Martin, did work well with us, and we were going to have it go on in one way or another. He said, we've got to wet everything down, we'll do it, we'll take care of it.
Steve?
There is a potential revenue opportunity. I know that in a little area of 2nd District and my entire neighborhood, it's one big party every house. So you might want to contact Tuckaway, get their booze cart, and then just have somebody run around the neighborhood. No, I'll drink it. Because it is a party in our neck of the woods.
All right, anything else? If not, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
I totally stole your agenda. Oh, here it is. No.
Parks 911. I only have one extra.
Oh, a memo from Craig Campholz, Watt County Fiscal and Budget Administrator. Supervisor Marina Dmitrievich, Chairman of Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors, regarding Memorandum of Understanding with City of Milwaukee Police Department to provide Park Patrol and Cellular 911 response services. This came to the council, I think it was referred back, at the request of the chairwoman to myself. There had been a memo placed on the announcements from County Executive Abley, and thought it only fair that this also come before you. Some pretty good work and very good analysis that was included in here. I think with the, perhaps if we know somebody that knows anything about county government, we get them to talk on this. I think on the Parks Patrol, that was the board overrode the veto of the county executive, and so while the county executive said, you know, the municipalities are on board, this municipality was not on board, and I know other municipalities were not on board with this at all. So I think the county board did the right thing.
Your Honor, I carried your message and Alderman Olson's message to the board, said that, you know, Franklin basically said this is not in our best interest. So I carried that message. Also, I mean, the one issue that I talked about, I think at decent length, is we tried to remove the $463,000 to pay Milwaukee a one-time fee, $463,000. And what I said was, if you're going to pay that municipality, why not pay us? And I said, so if you don't think I'm going to go back to Franklin, and we could maybe, some of my colleagues want to join me to put together a resolution saying pay us for our cost, just like you're going to pay the city of Milwaukee. So if anybody has interest in doing that, we could probably talk to our chief of police to get the, or maybe Cal, to find out what our annual cost is. But basically what it is in the city of Milwaukee, they're asking us, so we have been paying, and we're saying, no, you do it. But the county exec, as a part of this deal, basically said we're going to pay you. And now I understand that some of my colleagues on the board are going to be bringing in a three-year contract to basically do just that. So what we passed and was overridden, it was vetoed and overridden, was a one-year shot at 463. But I'm being told that this is coming, that it's going to be 3 years we're going to continue to pay Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee. And I think that's unacceptable, and I think municipalities all around the county should come forward and say, we're answering our calls and accepting those costs, so if you're going to pay Milwaukee, why not Franklin?
Well, you know, as the chairman of the ICC, this is a perfect issue that you want to bring to the municipalities. What you don't want to do is what happened to me, and that's that I get a call from my police chief saying that there's a press conference at 11 o'clock and that they're going to be talking about something. And then during the course of the discussions, it was also said that the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, i.e. county executive's office, had been dealing with this for months. Yet the other 18 municipalities had absolutely no idea of the scope of any of this. Alderman Olson and Alderman Selman.
Well, I'll join you in that.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great.
Because the reality is, on the last page of the packet,
yeah, look at the last
135 page. Calls for service by the police department alone over the span of 2 years. 2 years, from January of 11. But the majority of these calls are not in the little county parks in the city of Franklin. They're in the big ones,
yeah,
where you would expect to see the sheriff's department once in a while. The reality is we don't see the sheriff's department down here unless they're collecting on a ticket or serving a warrant. We don't see them at the House of Corrections often. And we'll talk about this next agenda. But in 2007, when they had the escaped prisoner, excuse me, they call it the walkaway, there was no sheriff's department. It was our police department looking for
state patrol.
In the state patrol, that's right. So for us to send all kinds of money, our tax dollars, to the city of Milwaukee for a service that we're getting the benefit from, just as absurd. And that goes for the 9/11 calls, too. The 14 surrounding municipalities are only getting 26% of the amount of money that's going to the city of Milwaukee. Doesn't seem fair to me. And we don't have much complaining to do there, because we don't get a lot of mobile 911 calls. You know, Oak Creek, they ought to be jumping up and down. Greenfield, they ought to be going crazy right now.
But I think it sends a message, and that's what we do. It sends a message that...
Happy to work.
Okay, we'll do that.
Golden Solomon?
If you just look at the Whitmore Park golf course and the clubhouse 37 times, the sports complex 36 times.
That is multiple squads.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. And we don't even control what goes on in that facility.
Right, we don't have no authority, and we're just asked to come in.
They bring anybody in there they can rent it to.
Yep.
And I don't have to expound on that either, and I won't. However, 36 times, we were just very lucky that the time, we had 8 squad cars over there. about 5 years ago.
Yep.
And it's we normally don't have that many squad cars on a holiday. But it just so happens to be, it was Labor Day weekend, and it happened after St. Martin, or the, yeah, St. Martin's Fair closed, so they were available. It was a gunfight. That's ridiculous. This is not a win-win for Franklin at all. This is just another expense.
Alderman Taylor and Alderman Scranton.
Well, there's a couple of things. One, I mean, the mayor, we met with Sue Black 3 years ago or more trying to get an overall agreement of that to support his complex. We never really got that done, if I recall, but they've also been sending us an advance notice on what the events were. So they've come a long way. You've seen that licensing.
Yes.
I mean, there's been nothing crazy going on, at least events there that's really...
Yeah, that's actually in the city attorney's office.
Office, right,
the
yeah.
Parks.
But the thing is, when you look at what parks you talked about, 37, 36, some of these parks in the hundreds. And so what the agreement with the sheriff on the record said, I'm going to take those 27 sheriffs and we're going to have a targeted enforcement of the parks. But you're not going to spend time. Why would we ever say spend time in an area where there's no speeding, where there's nothing going on? So I know Windmill Park is included. I know the sports complex is included. Locally Trail is included. But understand that there are much bigger crime areas in Milwaukee County parks compared to Franklin. I suppose if we looked at each one of these and what was the actual call, they may not be near, but we're talking about murders, we're talking about, you know, robberies, we're talking about muggings, we're talking about a lot of different things. So at the end of the day, out of the there was a $1.2 million that was going to be going to, you know, the city of Milwaukee, and then $125,000 to the other 100, you know, there are 18 municipalities. So you look at the math, 91% went to the city of Milwaukee, and 9% gets broken up amongst 18 municipalities. That was just not good math that favored us, and that's why we basically killed it unanimously, basically saying this ain't going to work. But I think the 911 is a whole other issue, and if we're going to start paying the city or continue to pay the city when now this has been such a hot topic, then I think we need to ask, pay us. Good point.
Well, Mr. Kraskin?
Yeah, this whole issue, I think, is a farce. I don't think there's any in it. As far as the response of the Sheriff's Department out here, it's very no to what's out here, and that doesn't cover all our parks and our trails, and we'd be better off getting our fair share back, but not at that minimum amount. That's a joke. We have less crime out here. Let's keep it that way, and our police department does a good job, but why are we sending our police department into county grounds? They should be taking that care 100%.
And also it's a bad precedent.
Yeah.
And for us to start giving suburban tax dollars to the city of Milwaukee, yeah. what next is going to, you know,
no
happen?
Way. Yeah.
Alderman Olson and Alderman Sellers.
Section D of the 911 agreement, paragraph A specifies that the...
What page?
It's at the agreement. So it's from... send me this.
Okay.
Specifies that this is 911 calls. We're spending tax dollars on 911 calls placed in the city of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
All right, I'm kind of technical. Who gets the call and who gets paid for the call at 27th and College?
Yeah, what side of the street are you on? 27th Street?
Yeah.
County
you know,
Lane? Everybody.
You get bureaucrats putting these things together without a clue what they're talking about. Present company excluded. Well, present company excluded for this particular discussion. it's a farce. And it was a bad concept, and it's bad. It's poorly implemented, and I see this precedent as you suggested, Alderman Taylor. This city is going to get hurt. We're going to continue to fund, as we do with roads, in our $800,000 a year. Is that what our number is? Of tax dollars going to the county to pay for everything north of here and nothing here. This is a bad deal. Nothing we can do about it, but it's a bad deal.
It requires an agreement. So, Alderman Solomon.
I think you're correct, Mr. Mayor. This whole thing should go to the ICC for a resolution.
I did take it to the ICC.
I know, but that's where it belongs, and that's the resolution that should be, you got, you know, that should come out of the ICC.
Yeah. I have to tell you, I was a bit taken back at the ICC when I was, but I think I'm the only person that supplied the statistics from our police department. But I was surprised that some of the other mayors were going, well, you know, yeah, we'll take some more free money. And I'm thinking to myself, here, you know, we're already bare bones staffing for our police department. I see this as the beginning of adding 2-3 more police officers, and at the same time, we're still paying more towards county taxes. So, I mean, it's a double bump, a triple or quadruple bump. Yeah. But Alderman Olson is absolutely correct. This is a terrible precedence. You know, there's got to come a day where if you can't provide the services and the programs, maybe it's time to get out of the business. Okay, I think we've pretty well killed
it. Be dead one to dead.
Well, tomorrow we'll maybe make a motion to have staff work on a resolution asking for basically the county to pay us. Just send it to them and see what the heck they'll have you to trust. I can trust me. I'll bring that to the board floor when they start talking about a 3-year deal with the city of Milwaukee. Say what community are you going to say no to? River Hills, Cudahy.
Yeah. And I sort of remember Mayor Scafidi at the meeting said, yeah, well, it's free money or it's some money, so we'll take it. And I'm just going.
Yeah, but the president's the problem.
Well, and I think the other thing that's there's a misconception here is that we are not handling county calls. What we're handling is we're handling calls that are within our boundaries. Now, some of them take place in county parks, but we've never made a conscious decision that we're going to take over for the sheriff's department. We've never made that decision. There's been, at least this council has never, ever made that
but
decision.
But if all comes in our city limits and our police respond, you never know what's going to happen in the sheriff's, you know, but the sheriffs can't be in all places all the time, just like we can. I mean, we know we have traffic issues, speeding issues, and we try to do the best we can to try to control them, but you don't have to.
Yeah, but Steve.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Alderman Taylor, the sheriff, and I don't get along with the sheriff. You know, I like some of the things he does, but he now wants to control the city of Milwaukee streets, and our taxpayers pay for that? I don't think so. I mean, what is with that? Come and patrol Franklin Street. Send a couple of squads down here. Help us out. Never. So, crazy. It's crazy.
It is. It really is. And, it's, and this was all done pretty much behind the scenes for months and months without any of the municipalities being involved in the discussion.
And it was, and we had seven, eight supervisors in La Crosse when it came out. And it was just like, I was one of them, and my hair was hot. Okay. Because it was the first that any of us heard about it. Well,
it's the first time the county board heard about it?
Yeah, and when we were all, 8 of us were out of town at a conference. So that was just really just trying to work from there, and this was blowing up. Was interesting.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I'm wondering if someone could explain to me, the memorandum says it's with the Milwaukee Police Department, which would be the City of Milwaukee Police Department, not the sheriff. So
the sheriffs were cut up because they were eliminating 27 sheriff's deputy sheriff positions. And taking, and they said that there was a savings of about $1.7 million by doing all of this because you're eliminating salaries and that. And basically what you're doing is you're giving that money to the city of Milwaukee,
oh,
and they were adding no new bodies. We were basically paying
for
what they're currently doing. Yeah. Their overtime and their extra costs. And right now you can see by the statistics that they're having a tough time even handling their own crime.
Yeah,
I mean, the sheriff wasn't saying he's going to patrol the streets. He's basically saying, why doesn't the city of Milwaukee stay out of our business? Because you came and handled your own. That's what the sheriff's point was.
That's right.
Well, just to belabor this one more time, you know, there's been some recent press releases, and I got to tell you, I was along with all the other mayors in Wisconsin. I was invited up to the mansion the other day, so I went up and I saw Scott and Tonette, like the makeup, just gorgeous. Beautifully decorated, but you know there was an announcement that there's a surplus. Well, guess what? We had all our shared revenue. Well, not all of it, but a lot of our shared revenue was cut in our transportation aids. So guess where the surplus is coming from? It's coming from us.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have to go to our taxpayers, the municipal taxpayers, and ask them to bump it up more. I mean, it's just a shell game. It's moving the money around. Okay. Tomorrow night there'll probably be a motion that on resolution. I'm probably going to try and put the ICC agenda together today or tonight or tomorrow. So I'll put a line item on there for continued talk to bring it back to the ICC. Was that your intent or just have a resolution?
I think the city of Franklin should basically say, you know, if you're going to pay Milwaukee to do what they're supposed to be doing anyway, then why don't you pay us? And I think other communities, then maybe you could take the message back that this is what we're going to do, and then maybe each one of those municipalities, they go back and they pass their own resolution, because I don't think you're going to try to get all 19 to some kind of, I've been to enough of those meetings now to see that things don't happen fast. We can all pass something in 2 weeks.
I agree with him, yeah. Well, there's going to be cookies and stuff at the next meeting, well, so the cookies will go.
Cookies will go. I mean, I may start with some.
By the way, the chairwoman of the county board is holding the next ICC meeting at South Shore Park. So it's with cookies and donuts.
Beautiful. Bring your sailboards along.
All right. Let's see. Milwaukee County Change of Administrative Authority for Milwaukee County Correctional Facility South. Let me start, and then I'll... Because I know Steve's just ready to go on this. First of all, the city attorney could not be with us tonight. He called me, and he's ill. And so when this first came up, we were taking the annual tour of the House of Correction. Steve Olson I think Steve Taylor and Mark Borkowski were there. But there were, 35 people in the room, including the chief judge and the sheriff's administration, all that. But when this came up, both I and Alderman Olson were vehemently against this transition, this movement back to Milwaukee County. The reason for that is about 1,000 reasons. We had gone through and fought... Hundreds and thousands of people in Franklin fought to keep a sexual predator facility away from those grounds. And at the time, the governor, who was then the county executive, basically it took him to step in and to intervene to make sure that we did not have a sexual predator facility out there, a halfway house. The other thing is that I was there. I don't know if I don't remember if Steve Olson was there at the press conference with the county executive, with Mark Borkowski, with a cast of thousands after the gentleman, I would call it, escaped from the facility and terrorized the neighborhood all the way around there. And the person, if I remember right, actually went right through the barbed wire, crawled right through the barbed wire and then escaped on a bicycle.
He went to Luxembourg Gardens, called the cab.
Oh, was that what? Okay.
4.5 blocks from my house.
But I mean, we had nothing but SWAT teams and helicopters, and we had the 50 municipalities looking for this, and people calling one after another on this entire issue. Then there was this scathing report that came out from I think Department of Corrections. Remember exactly, but it was a very prestigious organization that did the review of the House of Correction, and said that under the superintendent of the House of Correction, Malone, that it was they were one step away from closing down the entire facility, and the county executive, I believe, now governor, at the press conference said, "It's my recommendation to put this under the sheriff." Since it was under the sheriff, it went from, my opinion is, went from a facility that was not under the control of management, but was more under the control of the inmates, to a place that was clearly under the management of the sheriff. And it was a whole different atmosphere out there. It went from civilian workforce to paramilitary organization. We're in charge. They added barbed wire, they added dogs, they added everything. Our police department worked with them to try and work on, if we had another escape, trying to get the word out in a very quick manner. I think it was the reverse 911 system, that's where it started. So for some of us, we've really spent hundreds of hours. In fact, I think I gave Alderman Olson and Sherry Hanneman and Sandy Mocker Johnson, not just for that, but for all of their work, the thousands of hours that went into it, a plaque and proclamations for all the hard work. I think, Alderman Skransky, you were up testifying before the state legislature on this, and I know Steve was, Olson was up there several times. What I have learned is since this first came down, the sheriff was totally against this, this transfer from him to the superintendent. Now what I understand is there was a voluntary agreement on the part of the sheriff to actually make the move over. But that doesn't lighten the worry for this mayor or for the people in the area. I have grave concerns about this. Now, if the city attorney was here, he could tell you that he and I and the police chief have had quite a few conversations, and we are putting together, or his office has been putting together, all of the surrounding documentation, the scathing report that came out, all of the history. And I have been thinking about actually calling the committee back together. The chief, we're going to look at that, and I was going to ask you tonight if you thought that was something that would be warranted that we should do. But Jesse doesn't call and say he's sick very often, so unfortunately we don't have all of that. But I think you can tell in the tone of my voice my level of concern about this. Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Ring. You touched on a lot of things that I wanted to touch on. But I look back through some of my notes. You know, you and I have lived through Franklin Lotter, and Lenny Baldwin, and Ron Malone, all of them citizens, all of them civilians.
Tom Amons wanted to put it out.
As superintendents of the House of Corrections, eminently nice gentlemen, no clue how to run a job. Been in that place under all three of those guys, disaster. Not run by management. And through the House of Corrections now, excuse me, County Correctional Facility South, under the direction of the sheriff, night and day. And it goes without saying that the neighbors surrounding the community, the facility, recognize that as well. And I know Alderman Taylor did the right vote and opposed this. His constituents and mine all know what's going on. They are all around in 8407. The guy's name is Michael Verville. And he just jumped the fence, cut himself up pretty good, wandered through the baseball diamonds. This guy was a burglary and escape artist. Wandered through the baseball diamonds, through security acres, behind the middle school, and ended up at Luxembourg Gardens, called Cab, and took off. That, Tom was the mayor at the time, there was not much participation by the sheriff's department in that effort to recover the day. Did I say that kindly enough?
Yeah. Too diplomatic.
The following year, a guy named Martin Williams did the same thing.
Nope. Get a move.
Wave your hand.
And then shortly later that year, another guy took off, and one of the supervisors, the spokesman for the House of Corrections, Jeffrey Meyer, Mayor, said, this is not truly an escape, because this is a minimum security facility. It's a walkaway. Now, Steve, you were right telling our constituents it's not an escape? Give me a break. That's what you get with civilians running the place. That's what we're going to have starting January 1. And
April 1.
Oh, sorry, April 1. Unbelievable. This is all being pushed by a group called Milwaukee County Community Justice Council. Now, you can put a group of citizens together, call them a council or a, what's that other term? Consortium or alliance. And what you get is half-baked ideas by people with an agenda. One of the leaders of this group is an old friend of the mayor of mine, Kit McNally. Now, Kit McNally served on the siting committee for the House for the Sexual Predators. Kit has an agenda. And as we sat through that meeting a couple of months ago,
she was there.
And what was her agenda? Making life easier for the inmates. I'm sorry, folks, our constituents don't want no life being easy for no inmates.
Totally too.
Well, when the mayor said there's about, you know, 35, 40 people, half of them were advocates. You had some judges.
Half. I mean, Jeffrey Kramer's an advocate.
Well, right. I mean, you had supervisors, you had mayor, you had Alderman Olson, you had sheriff's people, but you did have, you know, half of them being advocates. And those folks have been, you know, circling the courthouse all summer long, all through the budget process, and they sat at the budget and they testified and they pushed certain supervisors, and there was an amendment instead of January 1, it would be April 1 because they knew they could get that passed. There was talk that it was going to happen regardless, maybe starting the following year with coming out of the county exec's office because those same advocates have been pushing him, but you know, he didn't do it this time around because it was too soon. This organization, these advocates obviously pushed for it, and you know, there's an added cost to the county for this. The sheriff, though, publicly went on record saying, take it, I don't need it, you know. Now, the sheriff, you know, there's an ego thing involved. Did he see the writing on the wall that was going to be taken from him, and he decided, I might as well say, I don't care if I have it or not, knowing it was going to come from him anyway, and this way you're not taking anything from me? I don't know. But there are some of us that were kind of disappointed that he came out and made those comments, because it really left us with nothing to fight for, because the sheriff said that, take it or leave it. And, I mean, it's in our, part of our budget. It passed. I don't know where the city, you know, what legal rights the city has, and maybe that's what the city attorney will look at, but, you know, it is a county facility, and it's been here a long, long time.
I'll just put it this way, as an alderman at the time, but I can tell you that just because you're a little bit smaller as a municipality to a county or a state, that doesn't mean that we don't have huge rights. And we've exercised those rights in the past. The last one was with the Sheriff's Academy, where Milwaukee County basically said, we're just going to put it in whether Franklin likes it or not. We went to war on that. We won it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there, but we won the principle of it. And what do we have, 1,851 municipalities? People start pushing the municipalities around, all of a sudden they're going to start forming an alliance, and it's going to start turning things around. Alderman Olson.
Just two real quick points. One is, it's relative to the sheriff saying, take it, I don't want it. I personally see that as a view of, you take the expense, I'm taking my people back. He's got, what, half a dozen command staff there. He's taking those back and keeping the budget. I see that as purely financial.
He's losing the budget. He's losing a big chunk of money.
But he's still getting his people back.
Yeah, but how are you going to pay for it? That's the thing. That's a big chunk of money that he gets to run that. And once he gets the dollar amount, he can do whatever he wants with the money. Now that money is going to be gone. And so I'm not sure how many sheriffs are going to lose their jobs, but he's not going to fund any other programs. We give him a pot of money, and he's supposed to use that money there. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. So he's basically a constitutional officer. And once we give him the money, he's made it very clear, I can do what I want with this money. And now that money's gone.
So my other point is, and some of us in the room will understand this really too, can you imagine Inspector Richard Schmidt saying this is not true in this game? And that attitude alone is what drives everything, all of my emotion on this subject. It's a whole different attitude. I would urge us to do whatever we can within our power to object to this and make some noise. Because this is just stupid and it's wrong.
Yeah, what it's all about.
I agree with Steve 100%. I visited the House of Correction. I don't know if it was you or with Fred.
It wasn't for me, it was with me.
It was with you.
I
weekend. It was a walk-away.
It was with you.
That probably been
on. Voluntary
that's,
minutes.
That's when Malone was in charge.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. I agree 100% with Mr. Olson. It's night and day. It is night and day out there right now. There's no screwing around out there like we saw when we walked in that place the first time. None. Totally different atmosphere. Just the cleanliness of the place.
Alden Skransky, Alden too.
Yeah, it was interesting when the sheriff had it and we were there visiting it. It was military style. You were at attention. Nobody moved when we were walking through. And the place was as clean as a whistle, and there was no question whatsoever who was an authority at that point. It was the sheriff and his deputies, and there was no screwing around, and that's the way it should be. You're a prisoner, you've done wrong, serve your time, and you paid a price, and that's what you're in there for, period. No other excuses.
I don't remember which... One of my colleagues on the county board got up and said that they've seen no improvement since the sheriff was there. I can't remember which one it was, and I guess I'd have to listen. But when they said that, I pretty much about flew off my chair. And when it was my turn to speak, I said, seriously, ask the residents of Franklin if they've seen an improvement. Ask the residents of Franklin, since the sheriff's taken over, if there's been any prisoners wandering the streets. So you can't tell me that there hasn't been a noticeable improvement with the sheriff. So I can't remember which of my colleagues said that. One of them did, and I just about lost it.
Who was the brainchild that said that?
I don't remember, and I'm going to have to go back and find out. I don't think I would...
No doubt a member of the moral of the citizens.
No, it was a supervisor.
So let me see if I can just kind of end this. As many of you know, I was involved in many, many things in Milwaukee County, with wherever there was union employees involved. I was at House Correction. I helped Cox when he was superintendent.
Dick Cox
was out there, and to reorganize that entire facility, and they have what I always called the miracle collateral agreement that gave the superintendent of the House of Correction ultimate authority over how the place was going to be run. But that was Dick Cox, and Dick Cox was the deputy sheriff. He was like inspector of the sheriff's department. And then it moved over into Ron Malone, who I would like to say that put him in the category of a friend. Nice guy, very nice guys. But to me, it was very clear who was in charge, and it wasn't the management. And as soon as the sheriff came in there, it was only a matter of weeks where you could almost eat off the floor. It was so clean. And when you were taking the tour with command staff, the inmates had to turn around and face the wall, and then they had the boot camp that was going on in there, versus when we took the tours before that, where everybody was just running around, and we were passing inmates in the hallway, and people were... screaming out names and things of that nature. And best way I can describe it, it went from a zoo to a military camp. The last piece I'm going to say here is that it's pretty clear that not everybody's getting along with the sheriff, but that's not the sheriff's department. You know, Richard Schmidt is, like I said at that meeting, this guy's an American hero. He lives here at Franklin. This guy is military, 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 and just the best that America can produce. Just because you're ticked off at the sheriff, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and create a bigger situation where, okay, so you save $10 over here, now you're back into the mandatory overtime situation where you're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I don't know if any of that was taken into consideration when this was put together or not, but, to have advocates, and we've all been under pressure from groups like that, to have advocates who do not live in the city of Franklin telling a governmental body what to do and how to manage a facility like that, where people can escape and literally kill people in our community, that should not be condoned at all.
Well, Your Honor, I did also say that if you ask the residents of the city of Franklin, they would much rather have that building not even be there.
You're done.
Exactly.
Which I said at the meeting.
Yeah. So
move it downtown.
I mean, and trust me, I mean that's. I'm not alone. There are others on the board that would actually like to see it all be concentrated in one downtown location. But the problem is, you know, we're just so flush with cash on the county. You know, so how's that going to happen?
Well, you know, I mean, the
well,
chief judge...
Put them, that don't need to be higher.
Could put them in the parks and let the city of Milwaukee do it.
All right. Do you want to... Alderman Olson, did you want to give it
I'll figure something out for tomorrow.
Okay.
Motion adjourned.
All right. Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nice to have it. Motion carried.